Today's scripture reading is from the Message Bible, John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man. In the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe, it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain real life, eternal life. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. This is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light so the work can be seen for the God work it is. Here ends today's reading.
So you just heard the gospel message. I do want to read one of the other sections from the lectionary, just so we have a reference for the snake bite that I've been talking about with the kids, because it's kind of a weird story. So from the book of Numbers, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many of the Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned when we spoke against God and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Kind of a weird story. And I love those weird stories, but that's another sermon. Today I want to talk about the end of the gospel segment that Penny read, where it talked about God light and God work. Because we've been talking about light throughout Lent. And we're told that Jesus is the light of the world. And in today's passage from John, the writer has Jesus saying, because he's talking to Nicodemus, "This is the crisis we are in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness because they were not interested in pleasing God. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light so the work can be seen for the God work it is." God light into God work. Show of hands, how many of you have been to Cleveland, Ohio? Okay, so for those of you who haven't been there, I got news. All of you were in Cleveland this week. I was privileged for 2.5 days to attend a conference for members in discernment in Cleveland. And I took every one of you with me in my heart. The people here in this room, the people in our directory that I haven't had the privilege to meet yet. All of you went with me, and I got to talk about you at this conference. It was a conference for people like me who feel they've been called to God work. Members in discernment are people studying toward authorized ministry of some kind, ordination, commissioning, or as my path, licensing. There were 30 of us, which was a really wonderful size group. 30 of us differently abled, different age groups from the 20s to the 70s, multiracial, multicultured, multigender identity, and as a straight female, I was in a minority. By my count, there were 3 of us. There were a few straight males. They were also a small segment. So overall, the male, and I don't say this to say, oh, wow, we're really cool as the UCC, that I was in a room full of multigendered people. I say this because it didn't matter. Probably I'm the only one that took a nose count, but I was curious. Turned out that in most of the small groups, I was the only married white woman. It was an interesting experience to be in the minority. But anyways, it's our denomination, it just didn't matter. Nobody asked anybody, nobody polled anybody, so that wasn't even the question. So are you married? Have you got kids? It just kind of came up in conversation. One guy goes, oh, my husband. He just quit his job. We've been talking about this. It was not a big deal. The staff that presented, 4 females, 1 transgendered male. Most of the staff on the national level is female. In every other denomination in the United States, the ratio of clergy, predominantly male, and I am blessed to serve in a denomination that lets women stand in this sacred space. But the participants were able to be exactly who they are in God's belovedness. And it was so refreshing to be in a room full of God light, hearing about the stories of people studying toward God work. The majority of the people in that room have been bitten by life in some way, just as most of you have been bitten by life at one time or another. But they choose to look up to the risen Christ, trusting and expectant that a real and eternal life is theirs if they can follow the path of Jesus. There's Bobby, who has a disease I can't quite pronounce, it's poly something, that renders him in constant pain, makes it difficult for him to get around. He's a guy my age who has to use a walker and a hydraulic seat to sit down and stand up. And sometimes that little hydraulic seat isn't enough. And so Bobby's roommate, Caleb, grabs Bobby by the back of his belt and helps hoist him to his feet. Both Caleb and Bobby feel that God is calling them to God work, in spite of the fact that it's difficult for Bobby to even move around. He hears God calling him to serve in some capacity. There were Kathy and Holly who've already earned their degrees and are in the search and call process. Both of them have gone through their ecclesiastical council. They've written the equivalent of a doctoral thesis. They've received the okay stamp of approval to be a minister. And both of them have experienced over and over the thanks for playing, but you're not the one for my church. One of them has been searching for almost 2 years. And yet in their discouraging search for a church, they shine God light. Holly, who has a heart for the Lakota people out on the Pine Ridge Reservation, placed tobacco on the altar as her offering because the Lakota people use tobacco when they pray. She's been multiple times to the Lakota Nation, serving with her God light, turning it into God work. There's Desaro, a young man of color who is in the midst of his studies and has no idea where God is calling him. But when he talks about the possibility, he beams God light. And it was incredible to be in his presence. Nancy, a woman in her late 50s, who feels she's been called to speak for the voiceless. Scotty, who proudly said, "I am Italian and African and queer, and I serve a rural church about an hour outside of Ferguson where the KKK still holds rallies." She puts on her cowboy boots, her clerical collar, gets on her motorcycle, and rides where the rally is taking place and sits on her bike and watches them. She said, "I want them to know that God light is here. I want them to see me seeing them." God light in a place where hatred is sprinkled. Scotty also drives to Ferguson to walk in the protests. And her all-white congregation says, "Why are you doing that?" She says, "No, you're asking the wrong question. The question is, why aren't you joining me?" There was Susan, who's 70 years old and just signed up for her first class. She says, "I have no idea why I'm doing this. I'm 70 years old. I felt compelled." But she's privileged to be a member of the Cathedral of Hope, a mega church. I didn't know the UCC had a mega church. 3,000 members, hundreds of ministries, mainly an LGBT church in Texas. You want to talk God light in a dark place? They're doing it. There's Jessica, who finished divinity school and isn't sure where God is calling her because she spent most of her career as a community organizer. She said, "I don't know if God is calling me back to that place, or am I supposed to be over here?" But she jumped right in when people started talking about taxi pooling back to the airport, and somebody said, "Oh, let's do Uber." Jessica was on her feet and said, "Hold it. You need to take a regular taxi where people are paid decent wages and have benefits. Uber is undermining the employment practices by hiring people for a fraction, pittance even, because they're willing to work for anything." She said, "I'm not begrudging the Uber drivers their wages, but you're undermining the unionized taxi drivers." Nobody said, "Oh, does anybody here have an opinion about Uber?" Jessica was on her feet because God said, "Jessica, you've got a voice. Use it. This is God work." So she may be in the murky wilderness in discerning her path, but she's looking up and following the one we call Jesus, God's uniquely given son. Sonia told a story of a mission trip to Kenya, where a young black woman pulled Sonia aside and said, "I need to speak to you in private." And Sonia had not revealed that she was queer, but for some reason this young Kenyan woman sensed that Sonia was a safe place to unload her story. She said, "I have to tell somebody. I'm a lesbian and I could never say it here because the state can punish and jail me for loving somebody." Sonia embraced her. They wept together. And Sonia's heart breaks for the thought that there are people across the world that can't even say to their family and their friends, "This is who I am." But Sonia's God light shone out so much, she was able to say, "You are God's beloved." And Sonia got back on the plane to come to America and realized God is calling her, a student, to plant an African-American LGBT church. Because we have a community here in America where African-Americans can't talk about who they are either. And Sonia said, "This is where God is calling me." So the room was indeed filled with God light. People who think that our book called the Bible, our sacred story, matters today. People who, when you ask them to articulate, what is the good news in this book? What is the good news, the gospel today? And they said it's still a story of liberation. Part of the good news is that in our UC denomination, which follows a lifted Christ, we have a new slogan. After church, take a look at the back of David's shirt. He's wearing it. But it's "Be the Church." What does that mean? Protect the environment, care for the poor, embrace diversity, reject racism, forgive often, love God, fight for the powerless, share earthly and spiritual resources, enjoy this life. We have over 3,000 congregations across the United States. 1,200 plus are ONA. That's great news, but it's still a long way to go. And some of the staff talked about those churches that voted some time ago about being ONA. And they said, you know, these churches need to check in with the covenant they made at that time. How are you living into that? The good news is a church like this here, and this is part of where I got to brag about who we are. One of the conversations was that our brothers and sisters and differently gendered folks often go to a church and have nowhere safe to use a restroom. No one should have to choose to not go when they're at church because somebody might think, you know what, folks, our handicap accessible, one stall, door lockable bathroom is transgender friendly. So you may not have had that in mind when you put that bathroom in, but we've created a safe space for anybody to come here and to be able to go. So that doesn't mean that we're finished, that the snakes will stop biting us here. We have more God work to do. But there's hope and there's help. There's the man Jesus, the one we call in the United Church of Christ, the head of the church. The one who today would put on his cowboy boots and drive his motorcycle to a KK rally. The one who would defend workers when they're making less than fair wages. The one who would march in a gay pride parade in Grand Rapids or wherever they occur. The one who would speak for the Lakota people still struggling to scratch out a living on a reservation so generously given by our government. We follow a Jesus who embraces all people. And Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we would have a really good story to tell on Easter morning. Jesus didn't walk toward Jerusalem knowing full well the trouble at the end of that road, just so that we could say we're Christians and then not really believe in that resurrection stuff. Jesus walked that road believing that enough of his followers got the message. Enough of them held on to that God light that he had shared with them to pass it on. He walked that road believing that people would be sitting in the pews today, believing that that God light mattered. And Jesus' hope and belief in future generations is alive and vibrant in future leaders in the United Church of Christ. I got to live in that light. And the good news is, folks, resurrection happens all the time, over and over again. Because every time we fall down, every time we fail to live into that God light and that God work, we need to stand up again, which is what the word resurrection, anastasis in Greek, means. It means to rise as if from a sitting position. So I say we spend our time rising, lifting our eyes and trusting that Jesus knew a way to liberation and justice that all of us can follow. So I'm going to make a suggestion for you this week. At least once during the week, when you turn on a light switch, whether it's in the middle of the night and you're stumbling to the bathroom one more time, or you're walking into the kitchen to turn on the coffee pot, or you're the sexton next week in the church and you flip on the light, I want you to take a few minutes to think about our gospel, our good news. Think about how blindingly brilliant your God light can be for others. Spend just a second as you flip that switch thinking, what can I do today to be God light in the world? Can I inject a bit of that God light into a conversation when I hear someone make a comment that isn't full of light? Think about how privileged we are to be part of a denomination that this week saw 30 young and not so young leaders, future leaders, a fraction of the 700 of us nationwide who are studying to follow God light so that we can help you learn how to live into that. We also talked this week at the conference, though, that it's not just us members in discernment that are called. It's, as my son would say, all y'all. From 1 Peter, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. So, you know, we get to choose. We get to choose to be God-like, choose to run toward the darkness. But as a denomination who professes Jesus as head of the church, we speak of Jesus as the bread of life, the light of the world. Safe phrases for a sanitized Jesus. But during this season of Lent, we need to reflect on the gift spoken of in John 3:16. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one needs to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. This is how much God loved the world, all of the world. So if we can look up to Jesus as a way to whole life, we can be the church that the UCC proclaims itself to be. We can all bring God light through God work to a world sorely in need. So I ask you to keep flipping on the light. There's a lot of darkness in the world in need of your gifts. And I ask you to make it so this week.